Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. Hmm. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
All right, it's time for another installment of It's My House.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
right, time for another installment of It's My House, and today's jump-off topic is 6 months from now. 6 months from now. 6 months from now, and I have it on the scrolling marquee, something I ran across in my news feed on either Instagram or Facebook, probably Instagram. And it said, and we have it up on that scrolling marquee on here on Blog Talk Radio. 6 months from now, well, hold on, you know what, let me go get it exactly. Let me read it exactly. Okay. 6 months from now, you'll either have 6 months of excuses or 6 months of progress. The choice is yours. Once again, 6 months from now, you will either have 6 months of excuses or 6 months of progress. The choice is yours. So for people that had a New Year's resolution or New Year's goal back in January, you know, it's, 11 months in now, almost 12. What do you got? You had 6 months of excuses, 11 months of excuses? Or do you have 11 months of progress? That's the question of the day. And we're going to go to our phone lines. Think about that. I'll hold it now. Oh, man. Okay. What am I looking for? But we'll be right back after Pablo and Bruna.
My name is Burke Hedges, author of the best-selling book, The Parable of the Pipeline. I open my book with a story about Pablo and Bruno, who take two very different paths in their quest for financial independence. What you're about to see is the delightful animated story of their adventure. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the life-changing lessons in The Parable of the Pipeline.
Far away, in a small village, near a beautiful valley, lived two friends, Pablo and Bruno. They were both young and dreamed of a better life for themselves. They'd often discuss their dreams about how they would become the most successful men in the village. They weren't afraid of hard work, and they searched for opportunities to help realize their goals and achieve their dreams. One day, an opportunity presented itself. The mayor of the village decided to hire two people to bring water from a spring up on the mountain, across the valley, back down to the village. They were to be paid based on the amount of water delivered to the village. Bruno and Pablo enthusiastically got to work. Every day, from morning till evening, they carried buckets to and from the spring. They worked hard carrying water to the village. In the evening, they'd return home with their day's wages. Bruno was satisfied with his work and the money he earned. He was sure that with this work he could achieve his dreams. Bruno thought that to increase his wages he could use bigger buckets to bring more water each trip. He believed with a larger income he would soon be able to buy a cow and the house that he dreamed about. Now Pablo was not satisfied. At the end of the day, his back and hands ached and he was exhausted. He was looking for an easier way to earn more. One day an idea occurred to Pablo. He imagined building a pipeline to deliver the water from the mountain spring to the village. With this pipeline, he could get more water to the village without carrying buckets back and forth from the spring to the village. Soon, he got very excited about his idea and began to plan. Pablo, of course, shared his idea with his friend Bruno and asked him to join with him to work on and help build the pipeline. Bruno thought the idea was crazy. All Bruno could think about was what his money could buy today and how to get it quicker. He felt that building a pipeline would slow him down and delay him in achieving his goals. Instead, Bruno got bigger buckets and went more often back and forth fetching water. He was sure that with this method, he could make more money. Pablo decided to build the pipeline on his own. He understood that it would not be easy to build, and it would take time to complete the pipeline. Pablo knew that it could take several years to finish, but he set his mind on his goal. Every day, he worked and carried water like before. But on weekends and during his spare time, he worked hard to dig in the rocky soil and build his pipeline. In the first month, there was little to show for his work. Bruno and the villagers laughed and teased him. They called him Pablo the Pipeline Man. During this time, Bruno's income doubled. He already bought a cow and a bigger house. His lifestyle changed. He now spent time after work in the bar, enjoying his hard-earned wages from delivering water. What Bruno didn't realize was that his body was starting to stoop from carrying heavy buckets every day. His face looked worn and his body tired. Soon, he began to carry less and less water due to the wear and tear on his body. Month after month, Pablo worked. Soon a year passed, and then a second year. Finally, Pablo finished his pipeline. He now used his pipeline to deliver water to the village. Instead of carrying buckets, Pablo was now earning more money than ever before. The water continued flowing to the village while Pablo wasn't working. While he slept and ate, the water flowed. Pablo was happy and proud of his insight, persistence, and hard work. Now his income flowed as long as the water flowed through his pipeline. The story of Bruno and Pablo is a reflection of life. Their jobs symbolize what most people do to earn money. Bruno gets his money using buckets. He goes back and forth, carrying his buckets from the spring to the village in exchange for money. To increase his income, he either has to go more frequently to the spring or to use larger buckets. It's common in real life to increase our income by working harder. For example, working overtime or getting a second job. We also increase the size of our buckets by accepting a higher paying position, which often includes spending more time on the job. Most of us exchange time for money like Bruno. We know that every person has only 24 hours in the day and that it's not possible to use all our time to work. The most difficult time comes when we can no longer exchange time for money due to age, health, or other reasons. Then our income stops. Now let's review what Pablo did. Very wisely, Pablo did not exchange all of his time for limited income. But he used some of his time to build a pipeline. He knew that the pipeline would bring ongoing income as long as the water flowed. An ongoing income that multiplied the time he worked each day. Pablo knew that someday, maybe because of age or health, he would no longer be able to exchange his available time for money. Pablo knew that if he could make his idea of a pipeline work, then he only has to do the hard work of building the pipeline. After the pipeline was completed, Pablo was able to monitor and maintain the flow of water to ensure that his income will continue. Pablo has shown us that to earn an income, we don't always have to directly exchange time for money. There really are better ways. How about you? Are you still like Bruno, who directly exchanges time for money? Or do you want to be like Pablo, building and maintaining a pipeline for ongoing income? If you are interested in the idea of building your own pipeline, contact the person who lent you this presentation. You can start building your pipeline today.
Okay. All right, it's my house. And today's jump-off title is 6 months from now. 6 months from now, will you have 6 months worth of excuses or 6 months worth of progress, whatever your goal or goals might be? And you can even break that down 24 hours from now. Will you have 24 hours of progress or 24 hours of excuses? Or if you even want to jump start it right now, 6 minutes from now, will you have 6 minutes worth of excuses or 6 minutes worth of progress? Okay, let's go. Let's see. We got people on a road trip here, so let's get an update from them. 309, area code Chris Collins, good morning. And what's happening on your side of the fence?
I'm not there in Miami, but the theme is they are setting up. I don't know, and that might be why Carlos might not be on the call right now, but he might be listening. They are all setting up the exhibits and everything right now. The show is amazing. I've been getting pictures and stuff when they got there yesterday, and I'm excited about it. I would love to be there. We've been raising some money. One of my search and rescue teams, he actually is probably listening. He said something about he was going to come on today. He's been listening to our shows. But, you know, they've raised $200 so far toward the plane ticket. And we've got I'm speaking on the second. So that's the key day. The second is the key day for me to be there to do the sustainable talk. So other than that, the team is doing good.
All right, great. Let's see. I think Southwest might give you something good, or I've never been on Spirit, or there's another disc. Anyway, but those discount airlines like Spirit, from what I've heard, because I haven't been on them. Man, they nickel and dime you. You might get a good price on a ticket, but you know, if you carry on luggage, that's where they get you. So,
exactly. No, somewhere about $500 is round.
Now it's round trip.
Yep.
You should be able to get something. I know there's some people that know how to do these travel hacks where, I mean, they get unbelievable low tickets. The only thing is you just have to be flexible when you travel on those tickets. So let's see, 786 area code, your mic is open.
Hello. How you doing, Chris?
Yep, your mic
Anthony?
Is open. Who?
Oh, sorry.
Eric. Yeah, 786. Well, now you might. Let's see if you're calling into the right podcast.
Chris, I heard him.
Oh yeah, Chris is on there. Chris Collins. Yeah. Yeah,
good morning.
Chris
how
Collins
you doing?
Is fine. Sorry. Sorry.
786 area code. You're live. Go ahead and speak.
No, he. You know what? He just dropped off. Maybe it was a wrong phone number. That was a Miami area code, though.
All right, anyway. That's all right.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so the event starts today.
Yes.
Okay. And let's see. I'm gonna try to bring up the website. What's the event's name again?
FridgeArtFair.com.
Fridge. Art Fair. Okay, I'm on the website. Fridge is open. And let's see, Fridge Art Fair, Miami 2022. art camp goes, say they have December 29th to December the 3rd. And let's see what they have.
November 29th to December 3rd.
Yeah, you're right. Correct. Oh, man, I lost it there quick. Okay, yeah, November 29th to December the 3rd. Let's see. Can you fit into the fridge? That's one of the bylines on here. Let's see, about, well, let's go with the about. All right, in love and mirror,
I'll tell you
the memory of. Go ahead, I'm listening.
I was going to say the digital gallery that Carlos put in the metaverse is amazing. And everybody in the world can actually go in there and you could just, you know, it could be a crowded room. You'd actually see that many people in there looking around. So it's kind of a live version of an art gallery. And every time you see one of these circles, you go to the circle, it'll take you to a new art gallery. So there's thousands and thousands of pieces of art to look at, and everybody can buy them. So know that the project is called Artist for a Cause. And they're all making a donation toward this project. So it's beautiful, and it's just some amazing artwork. I mean, I'm excited about seeing all the things that they've done. But being able to, you know, just because you're not in Miami doesn't mean you can't see this art. Not all the art, of course, but you can see what we're bringing because we wanted to make it for everybody.
All right. Let's see. They have to add the location is 2705 Northwest 22nd Street, Miami, Florida. And it's, what's, today's the 30th, right?
Yeah, today's the 30th.
Yeah. All right. It started yesterday at 12 noon. And it goes on until Saturday, as you've mentioned, 6:30 p.m. It goes on until this coming Saturday at 6:30 p.m. 4 days, 6 hours. Let's see. And they have a number of partners on here. So they have plenty of partners. Let's see what else they have. Now, you mentioned the metaverse. Now, I've been hearing a lot about that lately. Exactly what is the metaverse? I heard it had something to do with Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook.
What it is you create land up in the sky, in the internet, and people can utilize it as a tool. Because like this gallery will be running 24 hours a day, nonstop. It ain't going to stop. We're going to continue to add art to it. And we want all the artists, you know, that possibly want to be involved, you know. We had a short time to put this together, but we were still able to put together thousands of pieces of art. And to me, that was amazing, just watching everybody come together. But this metaverse is so cool. Mm-hmm. I'm learning about it myself, but I've got the link here. I thought I sent it over to you. I will send it to you. You can put it on your computer, and you'll be able to you know, look at it and walk through it. And if you push the play button, it will just take you through every picture. You can go to the side. It'll show you who the artist is, how big the picture is. It's pretty amazing, really. We I'm still learning about it, but it's a lot about being able to do something, network, sell things. I mean, you can set up a virtual store, and people can you can actually have an avatar, a little guy, little lady, and they walk in, and you can move them around, and you can go in and out of so many things. And if you tie these metaverses together, those little circles that you see will take you over to someone else's platform and let you see what they what they're creating and the people that are in it.
All right. I'm getting back to my studio now. All right, so now, Carlos, I'm assuming he's already there. So now what, what's the word, display will he have there?
Oh,
the Dream Home Project.
Will he have there?
Yeah,
yeah,
the I'm assuming it might be the Dream Hope, that you know, that greenhouse.
Yep, he's got. That's what's nice about this metaverse piece that I'm wanting to share with you, because this this link it shows all of the diagrams and everything. So, like, when you go into one of these different galleries, you'll wind up going in a gallery that's nothing but the greenhouses and some art, but every document, you can sit and read it, you can learn about it, you can do all of that. I just sent that to you in your text message. You know, I don't know, it was amazing what he created, and that was the night he stayed up all night. But at 3 a.m. in the morning, he put that together, and at 7 in the morning, he launched it to us. And it's so cool. I was just like, wow, you really created that in 4 hours? You know, just imagine if he sat down and he just kept having content to put into things like that. And everyone else, you know, this is the creator part of things, and it's all about coding and doing those things. So these are the things that kids are interested in, and our young adults, and even our older adults. But let's, you know, like you said, what are we going to do 6 months from now? Where are we going to be? Is it going to be a positive 6 months, moving it forward? You're going to be stagnant? You're going to be sitting here, still be thinking about what you wanted to do? Think about what you would be doing. You know, people have no idea what the future brings as long as they set up and start to do something that they've never done. You know, investigate, find out. There's things out here in life that people enjoy. And, you know, I heard there was two questions that you get asked when you get to Pearly Gates, you know. And one was, did you enjoy life? Or did you find joy in life? That's how it's quoted. And it's up, you know, each person has to individually answer this. But then the second question is, did other people find joy in you?
Okay.
So those are to me, that was pretty profound questions, really, you know. And because the guy that it was being asked to wasn't a very nice guy. And he didn't, you know, he had to dissect himself a little bit to find out if anybody had found joy from him. And, you know, to him, it was actually, he had one story that he could talk about where he'd done something, you know, in a positive way, but it was more of a protective way, but it still didn't find joy. And that was what the whole key thing was, it's on the bucket list, the movie, The Bucket List, because it's the end of these guys' time. And here they are wanting to do the things that they haven't done.
Right.
And
You mentioned yesterday and last week, all right, the challenge. Let's put this challenge back out there. Could you, for people that might want to participate, give us the challenge.
Okay. Challenge is I want to come to your city. Doesn't matter where it's at. I'll come to all of them. I'm putting a challenge out for 2023, and you don't have to wait till 2023 for me to be there. It takes about 2 weeks for me to get the material for the project that we would be working on. But I would love to see your community, your church group, your school. Does not matter to me. It could just be individuals coming together that really care. Let's put hope in every community because we have three machines or three factories that can produce enough material to go to every city in the country, small or large, does not matter, and get every person off the street and on their feet. Does not matter about their story. It matters whether or not they're out there struggling, trying to survive. We do have an answer, and you're it. And like I'm playing tag right now. Tag, you're it. I found you. Now, come find me, and let's find out. You know what you can actually do with your two hands. Seriously, this is so simple. You won't even believe how simple it is, but I guarantee you'll want to do it again because you won't break a sweat doing it.
Okay, now I'm listening. Go ahead, I'm listening. Let's say now the machine produces or the material. So is this wood, plastic, what? Or metal or what?
Okay, it is recycled material, washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, water heaters, and cars. We use the recycled steel from it to make the frames and the trusses. These houses don't burn, don't absorb water. They're stronger, termite-free, mold-resistant, seismic, recyclable. Build them without a dumpster. Build them cheaper than wood. And get a 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home anywhere you stick it in the United States.
All right, so let's say I'm going to move. Let's say 200 square. If we wanted the material enough to do a 200-square-foot structure, which that'll cover the frame, I guess. You said frame and trusses?
The frame. Frame, yep.
All right. That would – oh, matter of fact, look, before we even get to that, for people who don't know what a truss is – give me the distinction between a frame, a building frame, and a truss.
The frame is your walls, and the truss is your ceiling system. It's your roof. It's what your shingles go on. It's what your metal roof goes on. Trusses, our trusses are free span. So if your house is 30 foot, 40 foot wide, I can make a 40 foot truss, 50 foot wide. I can make that truss that long with no center support and hold a 3,000-pound snow load. And that's what you have to reach. But also it's solid. So if whatever size the piece of material needs to be, if it's 30 foot, 40 foot, 50 foot, it's going to be that long. So there's no breaks in it. You know, it's not going to be like you taking 8-foot 2x4s and sticking them together with a mending plate, and now you're going to shoot it out there 40 feet. So you got eight, you know, you put five of them on there to get it. This is one solid piece of metal with no breaks in it, and it don't come apart like that. It's just one solid piece of material.
Now, is the metal, this recycled metal, is it heavy? I mean, how many people do you need to... you know, to lift up so you can have, you know, the frames, frame up the creative frame.
It weighs half the weight of wood, but it's twice as strong.
Okay. All right. Now, you got the materials at the site. How many people would you need to assemble it, and roughly, just a ballpark figure, how long do you think it'll take to for that whatever number of people you're dealing with to put it up?
Well, two to four people. Two people could build it in roughly 4 hours. You could have it standing up, and that would be from a pile of material that's not constructed. If it shows up and we've already panelized it, those two people can stand it up in about an hour and a half, maybe quicker. Depends on how well they work together and if they've ever done anything like this before. Now, even if you haven't done it, that would be where I would probably suggest a third person that has some experience of how things go together, just to show you the blueprint and how to read it. Because it's ABC 1, 2, 3, and each of the material pieces are labeled. So you know that if you grab a number one, it goes right here and it goes into this spot. And when you get done, you have all your walls, your doors, everything's framed in because everything is marked for you. So we've got a way that if you've got a wall that has, you know, two windows in it, and a door, this thing's going to have holes punched right where those screws go, right where your stud sits, so that you can fasten it. These things go together really easy. And if it doesn't have it, that's where you measure out what your thing is, and you put the screw where it goes. This track is a sliding track. You just slide it together, and you put a half-inch screw with a self-tapping end on it, and it drills itself, and it'll cinch the two pieces of metal together. And as soon as you do that, you know, you're on your way. For an example, I had a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old. They built a 10-foot by 10-foot, 16-foot tall with a queen-size bedroom in the attic. It was 10 feet tall to the attic. So the walls inside that little room was extremely tall. And they built that in 2.5 hours. Now, they didn't stand it up. They just built the frame. But these are two kids that had never built anything in their life.
All right, so you say they built the frame. In other words, four walls, the roof. What about your floor level?
It was on a concrete slab, so.
Okay, got it. Okay, they don't have to worry about that.
We do make floor joists. We can span 30 feet with our floor joists without you having to put a center support down your basement. And it'll hold a 3,000-pound per square foot. Can't get that out of a 20-foot engineered flooring or joist. So you go buy one of those joists. You can't span more than 20 feet with that without putting a brace in it. But I can give you an open basement plan. So what could you do with an open room with nothing in the center telling you what you got to do?
All right. Like I say, 100 square foot to 10 by 10, ballpark figure of how much that would cost, you know, for materials.
The frame would be about $2,000.
Okay. All right, that's sort of like in line with the other
$20,
play.
$20 a square foot. $20 a square foot.
Okay. I'm putting this in my notes here. Let's see. $20. Per square foot. Now, let's see. All right, so let's say somebody takes up the challenge. What's all involved and what's the next step? First step.
Well, engage with us. Tell us where you're at. You know how big of a problem there is in your community, so that way we can start to address that and what we want to be able to build. We have a stat house that's superior to a tent. This is just transitional. These houses can be taken apart. They can be put together and made into bigger homes. So these things are very transferable here. To start this out, you know, it's reach out. Now, we need to cover the cost of the frame. You're going to need siding. Siding and roofing is running about $200 a square. A square is a 10-foot by 10-foot area. So if we were looking at the one that those kids built, it has one square on each wall. So there's four square of siding. Then you have the roof. And there's probably a square and a half on the roof. So if you looked at that, you're looking at 5.5 square of siding at $200 a square. So you got about $1,200 somewhere in that ballpark is where you're going to be. And you've got the frame. So per 100 square feet, you want to at least figure, say, $1,200 for that. You want to spend your for the siding and the roof. Then you want to figure the frame. The frame, you know, if you go by the 100 square feet, just go $20 a square foot. So if you want a 200 square foot home, that's going to be $4,000. So the frame is there at four, then you're going to need to have 10 square of siding because you're making it that much bigger. So,
all right, so ballpark figure for everything.
Ballpark figure for everything. I would say if you're doing it, we want to do the 200 square foot. It gives plenty of room. 200 square feet. We have a 240 that has a kitchen in it. So
okay.
if you looked at that, you know, that one's called a superior to a trailer because it actually has a kitchen and a bathroom in it. And that house would, you know, be $20 a square foot. So you're at $4,800. You have the frame. The siding, you've got 10.5 squares. So you got another $2,500 there. And you'll have it closed in.
All right. Now, what if you just bathroom?
The bathroom, you know that comes down.
Well, you know what, let's say, because I'm basing it on a friend of mine has. What does she have? She had 168 square feet. So essentially, it was two rooms. The larger room contained. There was enough space there for her to have her office or her sleeping area, and all this is on one level. Okay. Office, sleeping level, and kitchen. That was in, you know, that's the room that you, when you walk into, when you stepped into that tiny house that she had. And then now there was another room which was partitioned off, smaller, but it was the bathroom, which had a normal, toilet, had a normal side sink, had a shower stall, and the headroom and the whole place was, I was in there, I'm 6'8". So, you know, it was no problem with headspace. Because most people are not 6 feet. I mean, you know, I'm not even 6'8". So, and that was, I think, 168 square feet.
Right. Yeah, that was what we were looking at with doing the ones with the loft. It actually wound up giving you 168 square feet, but you wound up putting your sleeping system up in the rafters.
Okay. Yeah, hers was all on one floor, no loft.
Right. So that's you can do that very easily. That's what I like, you know, because you've actually seen it and you've seen that it works. and seeing what she had. Now, just imagine, you know, a bathroom, a full-size bathroom with a 5-foot tub in it takes up 35 square feet of floor footage. So, you know, and that's the toilet, that's the sink, that's the tub, everything. 35 square feet.
All right.
So
now let's see. Next,
that's
the, Larry. Now, I'm not going to go into shipping right now, but now what does? All right. So let's say the ballpark figure. I'm just going to say $5,000. So what? What does, all right, what's the next move for a person that says, all right, you know, this many square feet, what do they need to do next to get the process rolling on your end, financially speaking?
Well, you know, if you buy a package from Home Depot, they're going to buy it and they're going to give you a delivery date and it's going to show up.
Right.
So people can put a down payment on it. I'll make it. But, you know, when it comes down to start shipping things across the country, it would need to be paid for before it left the factory. Because if I ship it and I get over there and then somebody don't break out the payment for it, now I'm out the shipping and the rest of the material.
Right.
Because that's something that needs to be covered. And that's why we're trying to keep the cost low. Because
right.
if you tried to go buy the same thing at Home Depot, it's going to cost you more money. They've got a house right now that's not much bigger than what you're talking about right there, and they want $49,900 for it.
No, we're I'm working with the Walmart crowd, and Walmart did pretty well with his business money. Yeah. Now, all right, so there, let's see, option A would be they pay the full amount up front. I don't know. I'm just guessing. All right, so now is there anything, is there option B?
There's an option B where you can put half down, and before it gets, once it's made, you'll see that your package is ready. You make the other payment. And it'll be delivered. Or C, finance the whole thing.
All right, now let me hear that. Well, I mean, what exactly? What does finance mean? The whole thing. In other words, zero down, $500 down.
It
goes on the building calendar, or what?
What I would say is the financing is, you know, you fill out for the financing,
mm-hmm.
and you put 20% down, just like you would go out and go try to buy something. And
okay.
Now,
but she said 20% down.
5%, yeah.
All right, that's fair. That's a good. That's a nice little number. Yeah. Okay. Now they've got to fill out. Now let me ask this. For financing, they've got to fill out an application and go through, get approved by a lender?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. So if it's $5,000. Okay. Now, some people have good credit. Some people have so-so credit. Some people have no credit, bad credit. So for the people who have bad credit, what could they do, if anything at all?
The thing is if we can, if you've got bad credit and there's no way you could buy it on that, and say you don't have any money. I mean, there's a lot of
right.
good people in this country that just don't have that kind of money. I'm one of them,
right.
okay? So I'm just going to put it as if I want one. If I went out and helped 10 people in my community build theirs,
each of theirs paid money, correct?
Right.
So if you helped me build it and I paid you, well, now I'm going to take your the money that I paid you and I'm going to put it towards your house. Now you got a home. So we can work with anybody. I'm willing. There's not a person out there, but you don't have to own it that way if you're on Section 8 and your rent's being paid.
Right.
You can actually become a homeowner and your Section 8 payment will pay for your house and we can set you up. This is nationwide.
Okay.
There's not a, all there,
right.
That's all 50 states.
All right, what I want to do with you this afternoon, Chris, if you're available, because I know you're busy with, you know, getting down to Miami and all that, plus stuff you already got in Illinois. I'm going to write this stuff down and the challenge. The challenge, I'm thinking, all right, I'm thinking right now of about two places. One's down here where I'm at. My place, the 4 acres. Another possibility up in the DMV. Well, hold it now. You're going to be down here in Florida. I'm going to see if I can reach out to somebody else.
I've got 100 acres. They're talking about donating 5 acres of it.
Right.
So
the location for that is where, though?
That's in
Fort
Myers.
Yeah, well, that's on the – all right. That's – all right, yeah, I know what that is. Let's see. All right. Oh, now let me ask you this. The location of your because the closer the location, the less the shipping is. Because the shipping, break that down for us.
Well, the thing about it is we can put more on a truck that is a solid axle truck instead of having a semi trailer. And so, like, if you have one of the 43,000 pounds is like a full load, and that is, you know, that thing rolling down the road, and it's got a full load on it. It's 43,000 pounds. It takes 1,000 pounds per 100 square feet. So it costs me the same amount, unless I am just taking up a partial shipment, you know, of a truck, but that costs more than what it does for me to fill up a truck and take the whole truck to you, drop it off, and the community come together and actually build it. And,
okay.
You know, we're all needing something to do. We need something positive to do. We can do it inside, too. There's plenty of empty buildings and warehouse spaces in every city in the country. It's utilizing what's there because it's wintertime. You know, down in Florida, we can do it outside, no problem. In California,
right.
Do the same thing. But when you start getting into the rest of the country, and, you know, we're talking about staying away from that lower rim, and, you know, not staying away, but, I mean, I'm looking at everybody else. Everybody else has winter.
Right.
It gets cold. And this is the problem. Because these people have nowhere to go. They're there, and they have nowhere to go.
Right.
And a lot of people are going to die, you know, and this is the part we can change. And this is just, you know, we got to be the change we want to see. And I'd love to come and see you. I'd love to see this this need be met. That would be what I want. But also, I think that's what all of them want. So, to me, all of us would get our wants if we were able to fix this need.
Right. Now, what if you wanted to use another building material? Is that possible?
We can marry to any building material. So,
okay.
I have a building material. It is plastic, styrofoam, and fiberglass. It is called an Eagle Block. And it has an R50 insulation rating. You can shoot a 2x4 at it, and it'll bounce off of it. You shoot a small caliber weapon at it, and and that's up to a 9mm or so, and it will not go through. Now, what I about that, it can, we can make it look like anything. So if you want round walls, you can have them. If you want square walls, you can have them. It doesn't matter what you want. If you can dream it, we can build it. If it's already been designed, we can build it. And we'll give you more options inside of it than what you have, because inside of whatever you built probably has load-bearing walls because they can't span the distance. If it has an upstairs to it, you can count on it. Your floor joists, there is a center support down the center of that thing, and it goes all the way through to the basement. Now, we can eliminate that. And now what could you do with open space? Anything you wanted. That's where you're not limited to the size of your rooms. If you right. want to have a 30-foot living room, you can have a 30-foot, 40-foot living room. I don't care. It's totally up to you. So, you know, we don't want to limit people, and that's where we're at. We are limited on what we're using. But if we use the technology that they're not letting us, they're not using in residential, and we start doing it in residential, you're getting a commercial-built residential home. Now, if you go out and buy commercial property, go buy a commercial building, guarantee you it's going to cost you more money. It'll cost you more money because, one thing, you'll have to buy commercial doors and windows. Ours are the same size as 2x4s, 2x6s, and 2x8s. So I can use every one door and window that's in the lumberyard.
All right, because what I'm thinking about is we can actually talk this afternoon, pre-orders. Think about pre-orders and possible solutions to eliminate shipping.
Yes, and I've got some numbers. Like, you know, the 70 people that, just to give the, you know, the country a notice, we want to create jobs. There's 70 people working in Tennessee right now. They work 8 hours a day. They've been doing this. They started the project in April. They've built 4 to 5 homes a day right now. They were at 4. They're moved to 5. That's almost 25% more, just by getting better, because they're getting masters at their craft, right? But they're putting out 8-foot by 20-foot homes. They got high ceilings in them. They're like 13 feet tall. I mean, these things are no joke. And they utilize all the space inside of them. They can take them on or off the grid. And they've built 290 of them since April. So if that gives the country an idea, I don't know how many people you got in your city, but I guarantee you, you got an hour or two this week that you could give up. And if you could, I promise you're going to clean up all of your streets. You know, I've got 100,000 people in my city. That is 200,000 hands. And all they need to do is do one thing together. Not at the same time, but imagine that.
Right.
You know, you're talking about what they would be able to do, would be able to change 4 to 5 cities their size, change their entire narrative of what the future is going to be. And all they did was come together for an hour or two. I didn't ask you to come together and continue to do it all year long. You don't need to, because you will fix the problem by claiming it.
All right. I'm figuring, all right, before we do our tomorrow's live stream, I'm going to call you this afternoon with my pen and pencil ready. We'll hash out some figures and whatnot. And then tomorrow I can announce, because I'm thinking about at least 3 markets where we can, 3, possibly 4 markets that we can start to challenge for starting in December, which is tomorrow anyway. Tomorrow's the 1st.
It's tomorrow anyway.
huh? Yeah. Well, Yeah, like tomorrow. Christmas, you've heard me say before, Christmas is just a day. New Year's Day is just a day. So, and I know if we can, not if, like if we just got, put anything we put up and you put it on Facebook Marketplace, it's going to move. It's going to sell. So, I mean, I've used Facebook Marketplace for various things, and it's housing, and it just always got, in some cases, close to, no less than 50 calls, in some cases, 100 calls. So it's just a matter of, you know, organizing it and whatnot. So,
I like that idea. I was, you know, I've sold things on Facebook Marketplace, and I do know what you're talking about, you know. And, you know, trucks are hot. You got a truck, boy, man, you liable to get hit up. Everybody and their brother trying to buy one.
Yeah, now what I'm thinking about also as a way to do it is, and I think I don't know if I mentioned this since you and Carlos have been on, but there's a couple of YouTubers that I watch on a semi-regular basis, but there's more than them. But this one in particular, my favorite one, she's a seamstress, Angela Jasmine. She's like 27, 28 years old. She's a seamstress, and she makes little kids' clothes. And she's got, you know, two young children herself. And she's gone from, what do you call it, a farmer's market to her second house, her and her husband. And what she does is on YouTube, she takes the order from the live chat, and they tell her what they want made. And you actually see her. She's got a – yeah. If people can see
you told me that is
this
– that is amazing.
Right. If they see stuff being – an order taken, and let's say they put down a deposit or whatever it might be. And here's the thing, you got enough people. So if one person, for whatever reason, can't complete a payment, they haven't lost, but they just move to the back of the line. They're still going to get something made when they get the rest of the money. But who's ever next in line, they got their project, their house, they, bam, it's ready to go right now. So, okay, yeah. So the next step for me is, because I'm looking at, I know some people, boots on the ground in Chicago. DMV, and then I'm here in Florida. We might be able to eke out another place here in Florida. It'll happen. Now, you'll be speaking, what you say, Saturdays when your goal to be in, what's tomorrow, Thursday?
In Miami.
Tomorrow's Thursday, right?
Tomorrow's Thursday, yeah. I think Friday I speak.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you a call so we can hash out. Now, if people want to contribute for the airfare, for you to get down to the event, how should they go in contact you?
They can do it on Cash App. They can do it on PayPal. They can do it on Venmo. They can use Stripe. They can use Zelle. You know, it's everything's in either my email or my phone number. That's 309-542-6319. That's 309-542-6319. Or my email, and that's Steelman, Steelman, the abbreviations for Bloomington, BLM, @gmail.com. So it's Steelman, BLM, Boy Larry Mary, @gmail.com. Then everything is a tax deductible donation.
and no donation is too small, and anything is appreciated. The sooner we can buy the tickets, the cheaper that it is. It's already been, you know, went up $100 since yesterday. But
okay. You got a travel agent working on that?
No, I just checked the – I've got a lady that had sent me a link, and I can just punch in where, you know, the destination and the time, and it'll tell me. But that's me. I can either fly out of Midway or I can fly out of O'Hara. O'Hara is a quicker flight. Midway showed it being a having a stop in the middle. But O'Hara's cheaper. So, okay. So far, O'Hara's been the cheapest. And
all right, hold on, Chris. I'm about to play a motivational piece, which we're going to apply to this whole venture with the challenges.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors with these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package gonna go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, well, we're on Faith Street, and whatever we need, financial or otherwise, is on its way. Let's see. Chris, I'm going to let you close it out for today. We'll end it early because you guys are on a road trip. And I want to do what I need to do. I'm going to call you later this afternoon. So tomorrow we can, like, say, just, I'm thinking about three challenges that I can be involved in, one here in Florida, one up in the Chicagoland area, and one in the DMV. So, and you just sent me a text, so share that, and then we'll move for the day.
Okay. Any businesses that are out there, okay, so that's all of you. If you would like to have fee-free transactions with your credit cards, please, and equipment, please get involved, because Hope will receive all of those fees that you would normally be paying direct deposited into their account. We have something right now that needs, and I forgot to say something, but I sent it to him just so he would know what I was probably going to be saying, because everybody, this is amazing to have those services. We can give it to them for free, and the equipment, and all of that proceeds that would normally go to those profit companies will be directly deposited into this charity's account. And we're talking about every transaction in the country. Every transaction. This is huge. Because every one of those places are paying for it. So we have something that all of us can go and talk about, and all of us can make a difference about. And like I said, you know, if anybody wants to make a donation, it's all set up through my phone numbers or my email, 309-542-6319, steelmanblm@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible, and right now we need roughly about $600. It's not a lot. 60 people giving 10 bucks. But your $10 will reach thousands and millions. It will start impacting someone's life. I promise it'll be the best $10 you've ever spent, because you're going to get to see what your money did, and it'll continue to do. It's time for us to multiply. You know, you can hold your seed in your hand. Will it ever grow? You have to let it go.
Nope. You got to let it go.
With my funding, that's what I did with my funding. I was helping families that were in need. I had it at the time, but I don't have it now, and I'm being asked to be somewhere that there is people there. I love it, because there's some wonderful things that are happening. I've got a tiny house there. We want to be able to, when we leave Miami,
hope is there. So now we're sitting in Miami. We can hit every place around there because I'm building shipping container houses down there. We're doing a lot of things in a lot of other places, but when I talk about the three manufacturing places, we're just talking about those steel studs that can build any blueprint there is. So you have so many options. It's time for us to realize what we do have. You're spending money at Amazon, Walmart, Starbucks. You need to reach out to us. Home Depot, Lowe's, I don't care. Inline, online, 250 Fortune 500 companies will give us money. If you're one of the 17 deregulated states in the United States, we get 20% of your electric and gas bill by you putting an account number in your website, locking your bill so they can't raise it. I know all of you, your bills have been going up. Stop it. Click the button. Put the stamp down. Claim it. And in 2 years, what, 12 months, whenever you claim you want to, how long you want to lock your bill, I'd lock it for as long as I could lock it. It's going to continue to grow. But know that 20% of that is going to go into your community. It's going to change your life, your children's lives, and your grandchildren's lives, and their grandchildren's lives. This is the statement that we need to make. We have to claim these problems. We're giving you solutions. Now, today I am asking for donations. But you can do it on Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, Stripe, Zelle. You get a hold of me on my phone number, and I'll figure out how you can send it. I'll give you the routing number that you can send it directly to the bank. Doesn't matter. This charity needs help to be able to help you. This isn't a handout. It's a hand up. And I want to thank LA here for having this opportunity for us to be able to challenge you at who you are going to be. I don't care who you've been. Who are you going to be? And who are we going to be able to go out and see that they're not out there struggling? I'm tired of seeing the homeless outside and people saying they don't want help. They ain't going to do nothing with it. Well, that's because we're not doing nothing with it. And we have to give them the choice. If we make up their minds for them, it's you making up their minds for them. And it could be anybody's mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, grandson, granddaughter, niece, nephew, your dad. It doesn't matter. It's somebody's brother or sister. And it's my brother and sister because we're supposed to take care of each other, right? We're the human race.
Right.
We're human beings, but we're not being human. I ask people the question. I'm going to ask you right now. Don't answer it to me. Show me. Who are you when no one's around, when you get to create and make a sound? You're a creator every second of the day. What are you creating? Are you going to be lethargic for the next 6 months and in 6 months be saying, man, I'm what I could have done? Woulda, coulda, shoulda, didda? I like did it. I did it. I like to put the D-O-N-E on things. Anybody that knows me, they give me something to do, I will call them back with the D-O-N-E because I want it done. Accountable. And if I know about something, I'm accountable to try to inform others. Knowledge is key to unlocking who you are, because the more you know, the more you're going to grow, and then the more you're going to show. And your light is brilliant. Let's turn it on, and let's just see how bright everyone's future is going to be.
All right.
And I'll land there.
I'll call you in a few hours, Chris. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow.